I came to the church Tuesday morning, about 9:30. And I didn't leave until right about 4 o'clock to go pick up Hannah from school and then go get my kids. I say all that because as I was here working on this new program, I told you I had to get used to it. God blessed us with it. I'm just trying to get acclimated to it. And so I did all kinds of different things. And the Lord began to show me some things. And I like to be in the water. How many of you like to be out in the water? You know, not like when it's cold, but when it's nice. You know, you like to get in the ocean. How many of you have been baptized in the ocean? It's awesome. It is awesome. What reminded me when I went out one time to the coast, Corpus Christi, we were doing some traveling down there for ministry. And we sat, how many of you have sat there at the edge of the beach, you know, where the wet sand is at, and then the water just comes a little bit and just touches your feet, like, ah, you made it, how nice. So cool. Well, he reminded me of, you can be sitting there, and when the water comes up, it barely touches you, but it'll refresh you if it's hot outside, right? And, but the longer you stay there, the water begins to get further and further in, so it's going to reach higher and higher. Have y'all been there? Have y'all played that where you just sat there and just waited and see when the water's going to rise? Well, on Tuesday, I kept sensing that we were on a wave. But I was like, I don't know how to explain this. God, how do I explain it to my wife to let her know what I'm feeling? I have never surfed in my life. But I have watched movies about surfing. How many of you watch movies? Okay. Have you seen when they get on the board and they start paddling out? Okay. Well, they're paddling out and the waves come and they got to go underneath the wave. And then they got to go back up and they start paddling again. But in this vision that I was sensing and I was feeling my actual self there, because, go lion, wet your lips. I started tasting the salt of the ocean. And I wasn't sweating in here. It was cold, remember? It was cold. So I was doing this, and I could taste it when I would go in, swimming in the ocean. I could taste that salt. I said, God, why am I experiencing this? Show me. Just show me. Please show me. You know, I get really antsy. Hurry up and tell me. Hurry up and tell me so I can know. But then I was on top of this long surfboard. I guess they call them long boards instead of the shorter ones. So on this long one, it was oversized. And I'm trying to paddle, but it's so wide that it's only like my fingers are touching the water. I was like, how am I going to get out there? And he says, just rest. So I put my whole body on the board, and nothing was touching the water, but the board kept going out into the sea without my effort. And then at a distance, I could see like the wave was coming, but it's not one of those that like real big, you know, the scary waves. But there was, I don't know what they call that, where the water begins to lift and the wave comes, but it's not the wave that's breaking. It's the wave that is building. A swell. And that's when I started understanding that God was saying, I am building my wave that is about to hit. And if you quit struggling and just let me guide you and lead you, and you rest on the very instrument that I have already given you, quit toying and trying to get out there, I will take you to where you need to go, into the depth that you need to be in, because I'm about to raise up the water. That it's not going to be turbulent. That the only thing we're going to do now, and I see this because I don't know how to surf, but I do know when they see that it's their wave, they're going to catch their wave. Others, y'all hear this now. Others that are surfing around you know that that's your wave. They didn't get it, Liz. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. Do they not know that, oh, he got it first. That's their wave. And you don't come and get my wave or there's about to be a fight. Am I right? So I heard the Lord saying that I'm getting ready to bring your wave. But not everybody's getting on this wave with you. You just got to quit struggling and let me do it. And when it's time, watch this, I will tell you to turn so that you can ride this wave. I said, wait a minute. If I turn, I'm going to fall because I know me. But isn't that everybody's fear? When God's about to do something, we stumble and we fall and we're afraid we're going to miss. He says, that's why I made it oversized. Roll over a couple of times. You ain't falling over. I made it oversized. You're not going to roll off of this thing. You're going to stay right on it. And so when Inez called me because she wanted to know, hey, are you going to go get the kids? I said, yes. Let me tell you something going on. I said, I don't know how to put my finger on it, but I can tell you this. There is something that is building in the spiritual realm, and there's something that is about to be released that everybody's beginning to feel it. Some of y'all came looking at me in the past couple of weeks, say, yeah, that's it, Pastor. That's it, Pastor. That's it. That's it. What is it? I don't know, but that's it. There is something that is building. If it's my word, it's my word. Amen. But I've heard too many people talking about the same thing that is happening in their life. They're feeling it. And everywhere they turn, there's anticipation. And with anticipation comes the very thing that tries to stop that very flow. I say, God, I don't want this to stop. I know that if I just trust you, and I don't fight, don't struggle, but trust you. This wave will not overtake me. It will take me. And I've been feeling this. I've been feeling this. So when she called, I said, baby, I don't know where you're at and I don't know what you're doing. But I can tell you, oh, I know what it was. She was going to go, she was with Jan. And she was supposed to go to Houston to see her niece. She goes, I don't know if I'm going. I said, if you're going, amen. If you're not going, amen. She goes, what does that mean? I said, it don't matter because God's got you. Either way. But I know something is happening, and I don't want to be out of place when it happens. I want to be in that very place that says that's my wave. And when that wave begins to increase, the depth of it increases. That's when he gave me the word when I was in my office. Get your Bibles, if you would, please. And turn to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47 and verse 1. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. When you're there, say amen. New Living Translation, Ezekiel 47 reads in this wise, verse 1. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. In verse 1, we begin to see that in his vision, the man, who is the man? That is Jesus himself. Revealing himself to Ezekiel the prophet. And I want you to take notice right here where he says, then I saw the stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple. When I begin to read that, I want you to picture this as the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, if you would. Now, the door of the tabernacle always faced east. East always represents a new day. So when he saw that the water was coming from underneath the door, I find it very interesting because what he's basically doing, he is coming out from the Holy of Holies. He's being brought out. And now he is at the door. He's on the outside of the tabernacle. He is in the outer courts. So when he turns and he sees the water coming out of the door. Well, in scripture, when you read about the door, who is that? Jesus. And you see that the water is coming from underneath the door. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing on the right side of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gate and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side and on the east gate. Verse 3, measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. Okay, now I've had this word preached to me many times. There's a river of God's presence that's coming, and it's going to start low, and then it's going to raise high, and then it's going to get to the point where you got to just swim in the presence of God. I've had that preached to me so many different times. I've heard it, got notes, and it was all in my Bible, all different kind of colors. But when I was reading this, I said, God, there's something about the man being brought back in verse 1. The prophet is being brought back to the temple. Okay. Maybe it may be too deep for you guys. But if I can get the theologians that always go before me, we'll speak to the theologians. The prophet was brought back to the temple. Are you hearing that? The prophet was being brought back to the temple, which to me tells me that the office of the prophet is being reestablished back in the church. Amen. We are coming to conclusion tomorrow night for the first school of prophets that the House of Manna is hosting with another pastor from another church who happens to be in a Jewish church, a Messianic church. Do you understand this? God does not do anything just by happenstance. We are in the process of doing exactly what God said. He's bringing that office back to its original place. And the prophet must see that there is something that is coming underneath the door, which is coming out underneath Jesus. Oh my God. Many of us want the deep revelation. How many of you want deep revelations? Real deep, right? You want real deep? You want real deep? You haven't even got past salvation yet. We just come into the church. We got saved. We're good. We're going to heaven. And then we stop right there. Here's what the prophet is seeing in this particular scripture. The imagery is saying that the word that was coming from underneath the door. Do you know how the temple was built? It was built on a high elevation. I had a model. So when it flows down. But he says, where does it flow from? On the right side by the sacrifice. Oh. The sacrifice, the worship has to be in the very presence in the house. The worship must be in the house in order for the presence of God to come out. To leave the house, it needs to go out. Only worship is going to get it to that point. Oh God. Let's make this the Holy of Holies, okay? This Holy of Holies. Can everybody go into the Holy of Holies back then? No, only the high priest, right? Only the elect. Only those that had the, how many would say that they had the bell tied to them and then a rope tied to them in case they fell out and they wouldn't, the bell wouldn't ring no more. Oh, pull him out. He died. Pull him out. He had sin. So in the scripture, what he's saying is he had to pull him out. He had to get him out of the Holy of Holies to show him what God was about to do. I'm telling you, just because you're in the Holy of Holies in the presence of God, hey, and you still don't know what's going on. He says, let me take you out so I can show you what my purpose is. My presence must leave the tabernacle. My presence must come underneath the door at times. But I must be the one that is standing to show you that my worship is about to be cleansed. I'm trying to contain myself. I really, really am. Here is what he is saying when he turned and looked. That it was coming out of the south gate. if you understand the placement of the altar, the burnt offering, there's where the flesh was offered. Your flesh must be on the altar. There must be some blood that is shed, that you must get rid of that very flesh that you've been operating in for too long. Then the presence of God will come and wash that very thing out and cleanse you. So your worship can be pure. You heard from God when you started singing. See, the way that they would build the tabernacle is where underneath that very place where they would do the sacrifices was an aqueduct. You know what aqueduct is? It's the place where the water would flow so they can clean all that mess off. So when the water began to flow, it wasn't from there. It wasn't from the old sacrifice. It was from the very new sacrifice, saying that I'm about to wash away all of this supposed sacrifice of flesh when it means nothing. But my spirit, when we see the water that's represented in the scriptures, it represents the word of God, the Holy Spirit. So it's coming underneath the door. Why? Because Jesus is saying, people are not ready to get the depth of me. They're so comfortable just getting saved. I want to go to heaven. I just want to get saved. That's why it's only at the soles of the feet. It's shallow. But let's not forget, the only way you're going to get to that very place, you got to go up. How are you going to get to the church? Nowadays, I just jump in my car and I just go to church because I know what day it is, what time it starts, what time it's supposed to end. Come to our church, you ain't going to know. It's Wednesday, so they'll be out about 7 o'clock. They start 8 o'clock, they'll be knowing. We don't even know. For those of you that wanted to visit because you listened to us on the podcast, you're like, oh, no, that's not a seeker-friendly church. No, it's not. No. Because I don't want to be a church that is only in the ankles. Amen. If you say, well, I just got saved, go to the House of Manna. Well, then you're going to learn how to swim. Because we're not here to just get you saved. We're here to teach you the deep things of God. Many don't want to understand that the gifts are still flowing today for the church because they think when Jesus died, that was it. We don't need it no more. So in other words, you're telling me that the churches are in perfect order for Jesus to return? There's more divorce and craziness going in the church than it is out in the world. I wonder what Jesus is saying right now. Oh my. There they go again. So when I begin to read this, I begin to understand that the church in this very present age is being put back into its order. See, when I go back and I start going through the podcast and I start listening, I start looking at different things, and then I check on the internet. Hey, what are they saying? And we are all about order. There is something happening. There's something shifting. I know that the Spirit of God is speaking to his church. Let those that have ears hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Where? To the church. So he's speaking about order. Not only is he speaking about order, he's been talking about us not doing it alone. Amen. Gathering together, getting people together. And I'm so tired of people saying, well, where do I fit? How are you going to use me? You should have already known before you came. You should have spent some time with God. Or if you're the ones that are just getting saved, let me help you. Don't stay there long. Because when I stayed at the edge of the beach and my feet were just there, hey, this is nice. I don't want to get all wet. The water came up anyways. And if you ain't careful, it's going to take you out. And if you don't know how to swim, hey, just start dog pedaling. You'll be all right. God will keep you up. He'll keep you afloat. So then me and myself, I'd start thinking, maybe that's why Peter walked on water. Because Peter didn't like being in the shallows. I read twice where Peter ran. on water. See, the first time when Jesus called him, hey, if it's you, bid me to come. Bid me to come. It is I. Come. Can you imagine when he first put his foot down? Did he sink? Or was it just at the level of his ankles? No? No, not that? Oh, it was just his soles. Read the scripture. At the very beginning stages, concerning here with Ezekiel, it was just at the ankle. When other renditions talk about it in the subsequent, that it was the soles. So when Peter stepped out of the boat, he was at that very place that Ezekiel was talking about. So then he starts walking. Watch this. I'm going to jump ahead, but then I gave you the scripture. You can read for yourself. I'll break it down some more. When Peter starts walking towards Jesus, what happens? Y'all know the story? He started sinking. Did he just go, blah, 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 help me? Or did he sink? How many of you have seen somebody drowning? Have you seen them drown with, And oh, Lord, help me. There was a storm that was raging. There was winds, there was waves. How is it that he can walk on something that is stable even in the midst of a storm? How can you walk when there is waves breaking all around you, but you have a sure footing when you're walking towards Jesus? But when you take your eyes off, maybe God was showing Peter, I need you to go deep for me. When you go deeper, I'm going to show you the deep revelations of who I am, the mysteries of Jesus. It went too far. Put the book up over my head so it'll stop it. So when you get revelation. So when Peter sank, he went deep. Deep. I don't know about you, but when I've gotten into the water in the ocean and it's deep, oh, all kinds of burning and tingling sensation in my eyes because of all the salt. Mm-hmm. What was once a sure footing was no longer sure footed. Because of the increase of the volume and the depth of the very thing God wanted to show Peter. Who else shadow healed the sick? No, I said who else? No one. Just Peter. Why? Maybe because he went deeper in God. Signifying that if I can just trust God and walk on the very shallow end, I'll be okay. But if I have to really get deep in God and see some things that are deeper than what my intellect is and find out things that I did not know or did not be able to take out from the word, God will show me. And then we see how as he's on this storm that's raging on and he's walking in this very water and all these waves. I believe that Jesus said, oh, there you go. There you go. That's my boy. That's my boy. Look at me. Don't look at the waves. Look at me. Come on. You ain't noticed yet that you're not walking on the waves. I've made it very easy for you to walk right now. Just keep walking towards me. Come on. You can do it. Come on. I know I'm in front of you. Come on. Keep doing it. Come on. You got this. You got to stay focused on me. Don't lose it. Come on. Come on. Why did you look away? Oh. That very moment, grabs him and brings him back to the boat. But we get so sidetracked with so many different things. The prophet Ezekiel is showing you something right here that Jesus is revealing. He's saying, I am at the door. I am there. But I want to get my presence out there. I want to get my very presence of the Holy Spirit out there. But you're so focused on bringing the Holy Spirit just in here. That the only place that the Holy Spirit can move is in here. Can't move out there. Let me break this down for you. Verse 3 says, He measured as he went. He took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, and then he led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured again the same distance. This time the water was up to my knees. Do you see an increase? Do you see a progression? And that progression, remember, this water had just came out like a trickle. But that little trickle surmounted to much more. And he was showing them, if you just trust me and you let me drive you to where you want to go and where I need you to be, watch, because I place your desires there in your heart. That is my desire for you. Don't get sidetracked with your selfish ambitions. Don't get sidetracked with your dreams. Let my vision, not a dream, a vision be in you to guide you. It's when you start putting all these things, well, maybe if I go and do it this way, I can make a little bit more money if I do it this way. I can do a little bit better if I do this. God says, you can do everything that you want to do. But if it doesn't line up with what I want for you, well, you're going to have all kinds of headaches. You're going to have all kinds of frustration. You're going to get to the point, my headaches are just too much for me. Listen to what I've already told you to do. Now watch. And then after that, another same distance, it was up to his waist. And then again, the fourth time, it was a river that was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. Whew. Verses 3-5 speaks about the four things that have been taking place in the spiritual realm of the church. There has been dispensation of just getting people saved. That's just the ankle. Then there was a dispensation that went up to the knees to get them moving, not only just in the church, but to get them out there to start getting more people and then start teaching them knee deep. In actuality, it says that it goes up to the loins. Speaks of reproduction, that you're going to reproduce yourself in others. When it gets to the waist, it's getting up to the waist area, because now it's no longer you. It's him that is in you that has to keep you sure footed on the very ground that he placed you in. Because when I was going out there at the coast, now Corpus Christi, you can't see the floor. You can't even see your feet when you go waist deep. But these waves start coming and it lifts you up. So the only way you can really sustain, remember how you would just jump up with the wave? Hey, hey, and then you jump. Hey, and then jump. Hey, and then jump. By the time you know it, the jumping is taking you back, but sideways. Yeah. And you're drifting back. Because you're starting to lose your footing. Here's the thing that happens many times in churches and many times in Christians. They want the deep things of God, but they don't understand the basics. The simplicity of the gospel is, yes, you come in, you get saved, but then you got to go through the process of your sacrifices of dying of the flesh daily. Hello? You know, the things that you try to do when nobody's around? Or the things that you do when nobody's at home? Or nobody's watching? If you have to delete it, clear it, or you've got to do something in secret, it's a clear indication you shouldn't be doing it. Amen. If you can't present it to the church that what you're doing, it's a clear indication you shouldn't be doing it. God is trying to get us to understand that we've got to make changes, because what is about to take place is he wants his presence, his river, his word, his church to grow in different levels. But there is a level that is coming that we're not going to be able to walk in. We're going to have to swim in it, because we can't even touch the ground anymore, because he's about to bring the very depth of the kingdom of God and the mysteries of Jesus Christ himself. And it's about to come like a flood. But if you're not ready for it, it will overtake you. If you think you can play church and you think you can come to church, hallelujah, amen, and act like hallelujah outside, I'm here to tell you, God is coming, and he's coming strong. Strong. That the very elect are going to be deceived. But if we are not careful, we will miss the very thing that God has for us as a church body, as the body of Christ as a whole. You know how many times we've had all revivals? Now they're on calendars. We have a revival scheduled for March 23rd. I wish I knew when God was going to move that I could put on the calendar. If I had that, boy, I tell you what, I'd be very wealthy. God's going to move on this date between 7 and 9. We got to make sure we play that song all the time and he's going to move. We got to make sure that we do the tithes and offering first. And then we do another one at the end because it's revival time. Because you got to pay for it. When is God? You won't even know what to do. You won't even know what to say. You got healed? Amen. No one touched you, right? That's God. So, that's God. Why are you bringing your offering to the front? I didn't ask for tithes yet. The Lord told you. That's God. Why are you weeping by yourself? What happened? The Lord touched you. That's God. It's not a planned out message. It's not another deep man's revelation. It's when God reveals himself that people get transformed and changed. Revival is never planned. You can try to work it up with intercession. Oh, many do that. Many. We'll fast and pray. We're going to believe God that the manifestation of his presence will show up. It'll show up because his word says that it will. Because you gathered in his name. Here's the very key that I have found in every revival. Trust me, I've read many books, many revivalists, many dispensation of all these revivals. Catherine Kuhlman had it down to a science. She just loved him. She just loved his spirit and said, let's just move out of the way. You see, Benny Hinn was under that tutelage. And he can walk into a stadium, raise his hands, and about 500 people fall out. And I was like, oh, that ain't real. Dang it. That ain't real. Whatever. Go to Dallas. Go to Dallas. Pastor, we're going to take you. I mean, Marty, we're going to take you with Pastor so-and-so. You're going to go. Okay, let's go. We'll go see Benny Hinn. Okay, we'll go. He's doing all this. People are falling out. Like, I'm leaving. I go to the restroom. I just go down and walk around the concession stand. Walking up the ramp. He must have did this in my direction. On the ramp. And I'm trying to hold on to the rail. I thought I was drunk. And I've been drunk before. Before. Remember this one? When I'm trying to get to my seat. Trying to get to my seat. He does it again. I'm falling over people. I said, what's this? I doubted it so much that I guess he must have felt me. He did it again. Now, chairs are made for your booty to sit down, not your face to go in there. I went over the row face first right into the chair. It's true. My dad was there. My mom's looking at me. What happened? And she, her glasses are this way. Pupils are this way. It happened. And we're like, what? Wow. It's the true touch of God where man did not do anything to touch you to do that. And then I began to understand the Holy Spirit as a person. And when I understood him as a person, I was careful about that. Many people say, do not offend the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. I got so scared. I was afraid I was going to do something wrong. He was going to leave. So I didn't want any. I threw everything that was of the world. I threw it out. You remember all the CDs, John, that I gave you? All those CDs on? I threw everything out. John said, well, you know, that's good. That's George Strait, you know, the box set. I'll take it. He took it. Santana. Remember Santana? Oh, whoo. Gave it to my brother. Got rid of everything. Guess what? That wasn't what God was saying. He said, don't grieve the Spirit by doing what you want to do and disobeying what He wants to do. He's not worried about your CDs. He ain't worried about all that music you're listening to. As most of these religious people will tell you, oh, that's just destroying your spirit. It's not my spirit. It's His Spirit that lives inside of me now. And if He says turn it off, I'll turn it off. If He says go ahead, I'll go ahead. Shoo. God wants us to live, and His Spirit wants us to have joy and to have life more abundantly. But I understood something at that very moment, that when the Holy Spirit wants to do something, He will. And He's not looking for your permission. He's not looking to see when that next song is going to be sung or if you're going to hit the right note. He's just wanting to know, will you let me be me? Let the water come up. What you can't control where you're at, He has to control you in His presence. You know, so many people will look at, what was that exorcism of Emily Rose or something like that? Or the last exorcism of Emily Rose. I started laughing at that title. I was like, well, how many exorcisms is she going to go through? We just do one. That's it. You're done. Chispale, get out of here. Get out. But I understood something. If we have the mentality that we can be possessed by a devil, I want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. I want Him to control me. I want Him to lead me. I want Him to speak through me. I want Him to do everything that He desires to do through me. I don't want to sit at the edge of the beach anymore and just play around with church. Oh, I think I'll go now because I think it's a good time because Easter's coming. I think I'll go now because my birthday's coming. Or Mother's Day or Father's Day. God says, if you really want me, if you really, really want me, you have got to allow my presence to come out and into you. But you've got to allow it to do all the cleansing that is necessary. And the depth of the word that is going to come to you will begin to penetrate your very soul and begin to separate the very things that is causing death in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 6, He asked me, have you been watching, Son of Man? Then He led me back along the riverbank. Watch this. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Are you hearing this? Now, we understand that there's a scripture that speaks about the river and a tree planted by the river. But now there's many trees that are planted on both sides of the riverbank. And they're bearing a lot of fruit. That's a prophetic image that God is about to release His power, His might, and His glory out of the sanctuary to those that are willing to allow Him to use them in different levels of the gospel. That not only are they going to bring people to come into the waters, but they're going to be planted at the river bank and stay close to Jesus like never before. That the very root of them are about to produce so much more fruit than it is anything they've ever done in their life. How many of you have a job right now that work 40 hours? What do you expect at the end of your week? A paycheck. The fruit of your labor. Correct? How many of you said, you know what, you don't have to pay me, I'll just work 40 hours in here? Raise your hand. But that job never ends. Well, you get paid. Oh, yeah, you get paid. Those kids are beautiful and they're growing because the fruit. Here's the thing. God is working through you 24/7. His Spirit is willing and able at any given moment. You shouldn't be waiting to feel the goosebumps. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. Now I can pray for somebody. Or all of a sudden I can speak in tongues and, oh, that's the Holy Ghost unctioning me to go lay hands on someone. No. The Holy Spirit is always willing and able to do anything that you allow Him to do. Don't wait till you see a cross on their necklace to say, oh, the Lord has a word for you. How about walking up to the one that you know that is a Satanist? The one that you know that is defying God in everything that He's doing, saying, I don't want God. Like the very high influential person that used to be on TV. That says, I don't believe in God because He doesn't answer my prayers. Did y'all read about that? So, oh, really? What's his name? Glasses, older man. King. Larry King. He turned atheist because God didn't answer his prayers. How about we just pray God right now, touch him. Right? Oh, we don't pray for atheists? Some of y'all are like, what? How about we just pray that Larry King has not only an answered prayer, but a pure manifestation of Jesus himself. Watch this. You know why it's very important? Because it's scripture. The church hid. The disciples of Jesus hid because of the persecution that was coming from the church. That they hid behind locked doors in rooms. It speaks of the church today that is hiding because of the persecution that is coming against the church out there. And the church is persecuting those that are standing for truth. That one of the twins was not there when Jesus came the first time. That Jesus had to return again. Have y'all read that? You know? Okay, let me just kind of give you a synopsis real quick. Because question this church about reading the Bible. Thomas, doubting Thomas. Y'all know who doubting Thomas is? He was a twin. Read scripture. It's okay to read the Bible for church. He was a twin. The first time Jesus came, he wasn't there. But it was still behind locked doors. So the second time he came because Thomas said, unless I see him and I see the scars and I can put my finger in the very wound. And the door was locked. Like the church has been locking Jesus out of the church out of fear of what he's about to do. That how can you lock the door when he's the door? He don't need you to unlock it. He is the door. He walked right through and said, touch me. Watch this. Don't do it like real hard. Ticklish. Put it on the side. He put his finger on the side where he was poked. What came out of that side? Blood and what?
Water.
The trickle of the river began to flow on the right side of the tabernacle. The right side was the trickle of the tabernacle. He is the church. And it began to trickle there at Calvary, saying that blood and water. Why did I tell you about the sacrifice? The water cleansed the sacrifice that was shed there in the burnt offerings in the temple. So when they pierced them, water and blood came out. That's why the soldier had an understanding who he is. There's no way that the water is going to come out of your side like it comes out underneath the tabernacle to wash away the sins of your world. Then Thomas says, oh, I know who you are now. Thomas went crazy. Started saving everybody. He wasn't waiting for a sign. He wasn't waiting, Lord, what would you have me do? He said, I have touched the side of my Savior. Lord God, it is you. And he went out and he began to evangelize the whole world. Here's what I want to share with you. This scripture is telling you that when it came out to the east, it came out as the gospel went out to Asia first. Then it went south to Africa. He's speaking about where the gospel has traveled to. And when it gets to the very end, when the water is so high that you got to swim, the gospel will be preached and reached all over the world. That nobody can deny that they don't know who Jesus is. And if they deny who Jesus is, they've chosen to deny him because they already know that it is he. We are in a different state, in a different season. And God is about to do something. That you can't say, I will only do something when I touch the scars. Put your hand on your head. You're touching the very scar of your life. You're touching the scar that has come into your mindset and you don't know how to heal it. And this is what the scripture is saying. Let my word heal that. Let my word penetrate that so that I can make change in your life. And that when the river begins to flow out of you, you can touch those around you and not be afraid. Remember what I was talking about? When you get near somebody that is unholy, oh no, that's going to jump on me. No, the Spirit of God is going to jump on them. Then they're going to know there's power that left out of you. Jesus said, when the woman touched the hem of his garment, I perceive someone has touched me, for power has left me. But we think we got to be so scared of all these demons. Why? They're afraid of us. The whole legion said, ah, no, not yet. Let us go in the pigs. Do you understand the power that we have? Do you understand that that's why the devil is coming after us so hard? Because we don't know. The church is like the church of old, hiding in upper rooms, hiding in the four walls. Look at what I built. Look at my ministry. Look at how many people I have. Look at my TV station. Look at my blog. Look at my CDs. Look at my shirts. Look at everything that I have. You're building your own kingdom. And that's what God is saying. I'm bringing down. I'm raising my kingdom up. And I am going to show myself strong and mighty, where everything that exalts itself above God will be destroyed. This is Bible study, it's not Sunday. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. We haven't even got to the rest. You read it. It's Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel is a prophet. He's a prophet that begins to prophesy the very thing that is to come. How is it that when God is saying, this is what I'm about to do, and then we're shocked when he does it? He's doing it because he loves us. Not only does he love us, he wants to make change in your life. He wants to do everything that he promised you when you were just touching the water. You came in, you got saved, and that's beautiful. That is beautiful, but there's so much more. There's so much more to understand the real truth, the identity of him that is in you. If you don't understand the identity of who he is and the whole thing about him, his wholeness, the fullness of him, you'll never tap into the very thing that he's called you to be. It'll only come out of you like a trickle. God wants you swimming in his presence. He wants you swimming in it so that people that come around you, you've been in the presence of God. You've been in the presence of God. Moses went up, and when he came down, they hid their face because they knew he's been in the presence of God. The glory was on him. I questioned those a very long time ago, those that said they've been in the prayer closet for 3 hours. And I didn't feel no difference if you'd have been in there 10 minutes. You should be demonstrating power. When we were in Africa, the only thing they wanted was power. Oh, they got word. Oh, they got word. They'll throw it at you too. Oh, they'll throw the word at you. No, you quoted that wrong. Good. But I live it right. Some of y'all got it. Amen to the three of y'all. I know that there is... I know there's times where we just quit. I quit. I don't want church no more. Good. Don't want church. Don't want church. Especially if he's not there. You should want God so much that when you walk through the door, he's waiting on you. Sylvia, I've been waiting on you, Sylvia. Sylvia, I know you couldn't wait to get here tonight. I couldn't wait for you to get here. I watched as you were coming out of your car. I watched you, and you just had this look upon you that you were going to grab hold of me and you weren't going to let go. There was something that you needed tonight, and I watched you as you came out of your car, as you turned around and you closed the door. You said, tonight, God, I need something different. And I waited with anticipation. Here comes my baby. Here comes my baby. Here comes my baby. And as she walks in, I become one with her. He wants to do that with everyone. For you children here, can I get all the children up here? Daniel, move my pulpit. I want all the children up here. All the children. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. If I told you I had a check that I was, no, not a check, that I was going to give you cash right now, y'all have been running. Y'all have been jumping over. To each and every one of you, get God for yourself. Not the God of your father, but your God. Not the God of your grandmother, but your God. Not mommy, auntie, granny, your mother. Can't give God like God can give you God for himself. Get God for yourself. You got to have God for yourself, because what God wants to do through you is greater than this can ever imagine. You've got to want God so bad that mama can't tell you no. Daddy can't tell you no. You've got to want God so bad for yourself that when you walk into the very place that he wants to meet you, he just gets all over you. And then he just says, all I want to do is just love you. All I want to do is just love you. All I want to do is just love you. All I want to do is just get all the hurt and the pain away. All I want to do is just remove the hurt, the pain, and remove everything that people have put on you and things that you have thought about yourself. I just want to remove it, and I just want to love you. I just want to show you how good you really are and how wonderful and beautiful that you are in my eyes. I just want to show you everything, everything, because I love you so much. All I want to do is be the God for you that you need me to be. I want to be the God that can help you through everything that nobody understands but me. I want to be the God that can get in that very place and remove pain, hurt, disappointment, all the confusion that goes on. I want to get in that place. I want to be your God. I can make change in your life. Not the God of what other people say God is, but the God that you know who God is for you. The God that helps you. The God that is there for you. The God that will never leave you. Holy Ghost all over him. All over you. It's the God that you need because he understands you. It's the God that knows what you go through, that nobody can understand why you go through it. It's the God that understands even when you try to say something, he already knows what you're going to say. That's the God that he wants to be. It's the God that you say, I felt you once, but I want to feel you again. It's the God that says, It's not going to be this way always. It'll be me and you, and I'll walk with you, and things are going to be better. It's the God that you desire will be the God that you all want to have for yourself. So when you come to church, you're not coming because they're telling you. You're coming because God is waiting for you to have a relationship with you like never before. The God that says, I will be right there with you when you're going through everything. I'll be right there with you. And when the storms of life come your way, I'll hold you. And I'll lift you up. Come and get God for yourself. For yourself. So that you'll understand what he wants to do through you. There's too much confusion in you, girl. It's too much. God always speaks to you about your heart. Let God be the one that's in your heart. He'll give you that peace. He'll give you that peace. Church, you see this generation? This is a generation that we labor for. It's a generation that the enemy wants to snuff out. And if we ain't careful, he will. We can't be putting more law on them. We can't be putting all this, you couldn't, you shouldn't, and you better not. How about you tell them this is what you can do? You can pray. You can get in that very presence the way you need to get there. May not be the way you want to get there. Parents, I'm talking to you. It'll be the way that they know how to get there. Let them get there. And if you're the one that keeps them away from God, here's what the scripture says. Woe unto you that keep these babes away from me, that causes one of them to fall. Don't cause them to fall. Cause them to rise. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right where you're sitting down, close your eyes. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch them right where they're at in a very special way, in a way that is special to them that they know it's you. Not just another church service, God, not just another goosebump, but a way that you can touch their very soul, touch their very heart. That they can say, truly, God was in this place tonight for me. Make it personal. For me. Because he knows my every needs. He knows everything that I'm going through. He knows my every thought. He gives me the breath and he gives the very heartbeat that I hear in my chest right now. You know the things that I'm in need of, God. But more importantly, God, let me have such a hunger for you. Such a thirst after you. That what you do for us, God, is to make us more like you. Not in a religious way, but in a relational way. Be there, God. Jesus, I pray right now, as a generation of doubting Thomases right now have just reached and touched the very scars and the very wounds of you, let your water flow into them. Let the blood cover them and keep them. But more importantly, God, wash away the mindset, the hurt, and the pain, and bring about restoration to their very life. So, God, I thank you in advance. In Jesus' mighty name. If you prayed that very prayer and you believed it in your heart, I just want you right now to say, yes, Lord, I receive. And I thank you that you are God all by yourself. There's nothing I can do that separates me from your love. And I thank you that you love me and that you died for me and that you rose for me. And now you pray for me. In Jesus' name, amen.